Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we want to say how we appreciate the opportunity of coming together in the place that you set aside for us. We're happy that we can be here in your presence and study the Word together, Lord. It's certainly a momentous occasion of our life, knowing we have this freedom yet, knowing sometime that freedom will be taken from us, but in the meantime we're very grateful to you to help us, Lord, that we might appreciate it and make good use of it to do that which is incumbent upon us from the joy of our heart, serving you, Lord, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We commend ourselves therefore at this time and this little time of gathering around the Word, Lord, as set forth by your vindicated prophet. May we know what he said, exactly how he said it, coming from you. May the revelation be one with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, next Wednesday, of course, you know Brother Terry will be bringing us a message, and I thought it'd be nice if we get the Grange. I guess we could maybe get it for about 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. See, can you see if we can get it for that late at night? See if we can get it? Yeah, good. As for next Wednesday, and what we'll do, we'll just bring some sandwiches and make coffee and stuff like that. Brother Miller's church is coming over, too, and how many else, I don't know. Do we? It's... You know, we're not trying to make anything out of them, but it's nice to be friendly, and I think people always remember hospitality. In fact, the Bible commends us to be hospitable. So when we fulfill that, we're doing part of the Word of the Lord. And, of course, it works nice for us, too. I think you all like a little coffee clutch, whatever they call it. I know you. You can't kid me. Oh, by the way, now, we want to make sure that you watch the children. They don't jump up and down the beds upstairs there because they're especially for guesting. And if you keep doing that, I'm going to come by with my switchblade and pop gun. And woe unto you who have water beds and mattresses. Now, the word to the wise sufficient. And this is the one time I'd like you to call my bluff. It'd be just fun watching those. All right. So you watch the kids. Don't let them jump on those beds because they're good beds. And the sheets and things aren't exactly something that were taken off of the Goodwill. They were good money. So, all right, now let me see. I think that kind of takes care of things. And I think Brother and Sister Green are coming down this Sunday, also the Odins, as far as we know. And we appreciate them coming. Now, we're going to go into the third Exodus. And I thought maybe I might have started on the future home, but I got to reading this and I liked it. And we'll just read beginning at page 8 and I'll go along commenting. He's reading from Exodus, the third chapter, the verses 1 to 12. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, I want the emphasis on that. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sores. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, the Amorites, and Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. You notice, I have come down, but I'm sending thee. God going in the form of a man. Now, this is one of the tough ones that many people just can't see, you know, when you see God descend from heaven, stand before groups of men and declare himself. Well, come on. When did he do it? Except in a man. You see, we get pretty squeamish, you see. That's a bunch of squeamers. All right, go. Let's read verse 10 again. Come now, therefore, now send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he says, certainly I'll be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I've sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, noticing it before, but feeling very deeply inspired by the Spirit this morning, I caught that just then. God sending his servant back where he had run from, he gave him the sign of a mountain. I think he's referring to himself there. He had that sign of the three major peaks and the seven in a row, you know. And the last one just blended off into eternity. That was out there in that, the Tetons, Grand Tetons, which is where it was. Exactly. And you notice also God identifying himself with the mountain. So that's not strange. It's perfectly legitimate. People come along and say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Branham, that was a real revelation. Does God do things like that? What he said here, that he identified himself with the mountain of God, right? All right. Now, we're going to speak this morning on the subject, the second exodus of God's people, or the calling out of God's people. Exodus means brought out, called out, taken away from. And I want to use that as the subject of the second exodus of God's people. Now, they've had many exoduses, of course, but I'm speaking on the time that God called an exodus, a separation from where they were at the present time, at that time in history back here. Here God is making ready to fulfill his divine promise word that he gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Years, hundreds of years had passed by, but yet God never forgets his promise, 400 years. In the season, the due time, God always makes his promise right. Now, I like the way Brother Branham uses the word season. Most people don't use that term. And if you don't use the word season, then you don't begin to get the full complementary effect of what goes into a season. You talk about a day. You know, come on. Well, he's been building up to a day maybe for 5,000 years. Then there's a special time surrounding it. Otherwise, how would you know when the signs are in? So the word season is absolutely the best word. Spiritual food in due season and so on. You'll notice how that a prophet will use the right words. All right? In the season, the due time, God always makes his promise right. Therefore, you can rest assured that when God has promised what God has promised in this Bible, he's going to do it. Just no need of trying to think anything else and say, well, the prophet was maybe wrong, or that couldn't happen in this day. Looked almost impossible then, more impossible than it does now, but God did it anyhow because he promised he would do it, and look how simple he does it. Now, the clue is look how simple he does it, then the following words are the simplicity. I have come down. I have heard your cry. I remember my promise. I have come down to do it, and I'm sending you. You do it. I'm going to be with you. Certainly I'll be with you. My never, never failing presence will be with you wherever you go. Don't be afraid. I'm going down to deliver. Now that's what he said simplicity was. Oh boy, bring me my big steak dinner. Who's going to kill the cow? Forget it. I don't care who kills the cow. Bring me my big steak dinner. Bring the trimmings. Bring it all in here. It's time to eat. Oh, we got to pray and fast. I wish they would. I'm glad they do, but they won't do it. Simplicity, see? Oh, now, is that right? Okay. I'm sure the spiritual mind catches that. See? The spiritual mind catches who William Branham is. That's what he's saying. See? The one that has the word. All right? That I'm going to send you to bring my people to an exodus, call them out, and I'll be with you. Now, the simplicity is simply a message. A prophet getting them out, and that prophet is God to the people. God is there. Now, how we can rest. How faith can catch that hope. There, God's going to do it. God is. Not character. Not your fruit. Not your gifts. Not your nearness to God. Ha! Why, how near was God to Brother Branham? God pure and simple. Not just a modicum of the Holy Ghost. That didn't do it. That didn't do it. It had to go. God just did it. And William Branham was just a voice. So it wasn't the nearness of William Branham. It was God doing it. See, it wasn't obedience. Now, how we can rest, how faith can catch that hope there, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. He promised it. See? Oh, for people just nutty enough to believe a promise. To lose their own mind and get the mind of God, the Spirit's mind. No matter how, what the circumstances are, or what anyone else says, God's going to do it anyhow because He promised to do it. Like with Abraham. A loused up wife. He couldn't have chucked her and got a young woman. It wouldn't do any good because he couldn't do it anyway. Abraham wasn't going to throw away Sarah. He just had to be with. That's the way God stuck with the bride. The only thing he can do for her is bring her back to immortality. Oh, brother, sister. Poor old Abe. Our great-great-grandfather Abraham. No good, impotent. His wife messed up. Wouldn't have done him any good to get a young woman. But what did God do? He promised it. And He does it so simple that it goes over the understanding of the cultured mind who would try to reason about it. How could it be? I don't mean to say that a man now with a good strong mind, fine education, that man won't understand. Now where's the big gaps? That's all right, wonderful, as long as he uses that, not to reason, but that culture that he's got to believe God. In other words, he's come to the place like they asked the great Dr. Simpson that discovered chloroform. And they said, what was the greatest discovery of your life? He said that I was a sinner and Jesus Christ was my Savior.
Right. Amen.
Now that was a tremendously brilliant person. Ha! Oh, I like to slap knuckles. I get the time of my life. These macho men, they bring. All right. I'm not going to comment on that. Let it be converted into the simplicity. All right, what's simplicity? I have come down. I have heard the cry. People crying because of sin. I remember my promise. I've come down to do it. And I'm sending you, William Branham. You do it. Get them out of Egypt, Babylon. I'm going to be with you. Certainly I'll be with you. Now, look at it. He said, I'll be with you. Certainly. That means he's going to make the prophet know that he's with him. And he's going to let the people know that he's with him. See? My never failing presence will be with you wherever you go. Don't be afraid. I'm come down to deliver. Okay? Spiritual mind catches that, right? Let it be converted to the simplicity of listening to what God has said and believe it. I'm come down. Here I am. I'm going to do it. You're going to stand there. Is my voice. His culture will help him then. Well, sure. I could say something, but I'm not going to because you know what I stand for anyway. It isn't what you quite think, but it might be a long time to get to what I would say. Notice. But when a man tries to reason, now here's what he said about the cultured mind that's in the abyss, in chaos. But when a man tries to reason that it couldn't be done, then that drives him away from God constantly all the time. Education, then, is wrong education when it says, hey, it can't be done, when God said it was going to be done. Amen. See? When he's trying to listen to what his own understanding, see? If you don't understand the Bible, and the Bible says a certain thing, just punctuate it, amen, and let it go like that. Now, he's telling you about an educated mind, and a mind that's so ignorant, perhaps, but not necessarily so. It could be in brilliant men, or just fine men, and you can't get it. Say, hallelujah, amen. Pass on. Now, instead of referring to these scriptures, you can jot them down in this Sunday's lesson. I would maybe you'd like to look at it first, but I got so many. Let's, before we find out what this Exodus means, I'm going to type the Exodus then, that's Alpha, right? And the Exodus now, that's Omega. There aren't going to be any more. And watch. If it isn't running exactly parallel, one of them is natural, and the very same things that he did in the natural, he's typing it again. Anti-typing it in spiritual. So what is the Omega? He calls it the spiritual Exodus. Marvelous to see the Word of God.
How anyone could say it's not inspired? This was about 2,800 years ago, you know. And how that he's promised and what he's done and laid it out there for example. How he makes a shadow of something to testify of the positive. I'll get on that tonight. Moon and sun, the Lord willing. All right? Shadow, alpha, positive, omega. Right? But first, we must review Genesis to see why they were down in Egypt. Why would God's people be out of that land? What land? Promised land. See? Into that land, unpromised. After all, God promised that right there, where the beginning was, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Palestine, God gave them that land and said, this is it. Well then, if this was it, see? Then why would the people not be in the place that God provided them? That's the question of today also. God gave us the Pentecost. He gave us the book of Acts. He gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. He gave us land. That's true church order, see? Why are we out of it? Well, why is the church out of it? Isn't the great Christian church today living again like the book of Acts bringing forth the same thing? There's some reason for it. We all know that we're broke up. We're in terrible condition. The most terrible condition Christianity's ever lived in is today. And we are right on the brim or the brink of a great terrific judgment laying for the church. And before this judgment can happen, God calling an exodus just like he did then. The Amorite sin was heaped up. Now the Amorites are mountaineers. They're the ones that climb to the top and look over it. Like the devil took Jesus to a high mountain. And so look over the whole thing. This is all yours if you obey me. See the high places. They're the ones lifted up lofty. The great organization. The great education. The great programs. Everything, see? The Amorites. So he's calling a spiritual exodus. Now let's go back just a moment type and find out. They went down in Egypt all because of the jealousy of her brother. That's the reason Israel was in Egypt at that time out of the land. Remember, God's promises were only as long as they stayed in the land. Now, can you see what we're speaking in prayer a few moments ago? Why did God have to harden Pharaoh's heart? To put the people back in the promised land before he could bless them to bring forth the Messiah to them. To them, see? How did he have to harden Hitler's heart to be against the Jews when he was half Jew himself? How could he have to do that in Stalin Mussolini? See, people, that's not inspired like a nation. God has to take the things they're living by, the laws of the land many times, to make his promises come true. In other words, he takes a natural before there's a spiritual can happen. And remember, the promise is spiritual, so God's got to lay a platform of many physical things before the promise can come into true spiritual effect. Otherwise, it wouldn't have effect upon the people. There wouldn't be anything there that would want to move them out. So you can tell that we're not ready to move out because the pressure hasn't come down too. Just watch these things now. So he had to harden those dictators' hearts to turn the Jews back to the promised land. It had to be that way. And what about our spiritual exodus? Now, we find that going down Joseph, we know the story as you go back to Genesis, and we can just read it. I'm a little late, but for this Sunday school lesson, I'll try to hurry. Now notice, read the story when you can of Joseph being born later of his brethren next to the last. Joseph was the second to last. And the two children, I guess, of Rachel. The spiritual mind will catch that right now. He wasn't the last child. Benjamin was. But in the excommunication, watch. Joseph and Benjamin were full-blooded brothers and only two that were brothers. Now, I don't know what he's really hitting at here, but I just wonder if he's not trying to tell us that he's the second to the last Elijah. Because there's five. Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, William Branham, and Elijah at the end time. Is he trying to tell us that this is second to the last? That everything is going to be gone at that time? I don't know exactly. Is he telling us that before God turns to the Jews, this is the seventh church age, second to the last then? The last church age is one before the very last because he turns to the Jews for a little while, 3.5 years, and it's all over. See? Second to last. We may get it later, I don't know. Never did Benjamin, he wasn't the last child Benjamin was, but in the excommunication what? Joseph and Benjamin were full-blooded brothers and only two that were brothers. Never did Benjamin get the recognition until he met Joseph. And above the rest of them, Benjamin given a double portion of everything that Joseph gave. Well, he could be telling us here very plainly, too, that until we actually meet Jesus, as typed in Joseph, we are not going to get our position, nor does Israel. All right, notice now. We find that down there, he was taken from his brothers because he was spiritual. He was a great man, although the humblest of the bunch, the least of the bunch, they hate him without a cause. They should not have hated him. They should have respected him. Because why'd they hate him? Because he was a brother? Not exactly that. They hated him because that God dealt with him more than he did with the rest of them. Now, he's telling you about jealousy here that has to do with pride. And he, in his own ministry, is likened to that very end. The people hated William Branham. They were jealous of him because he had his ministry. All right, God gave Joseph a spiritual understanding. He could interpret dreams perfectly. He could foretell things that would come to pass perfectly, just the way they were. He didn't pull any punches. Now, remember, that's before the anointed ones of the end time. You've got men telling dreams just right down the line, too, but they go off. There's only one person that's perfect can tell it just as it is. That was William Branham. No man following can do it. I don't care. Now, young W.B. Grant can just tell you dreams left and right, but he goes off. I will mention his name, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but look, we've got a job to do, and that's all right by me. I'm going to do what I got to do. He saw the dream of those sheaves bowing down before his sheaf, and his brothers then got angry with him, said, I guess then you, little holy roller, in other words, would have to bow down before you someday. But that's the way it happened. How would those great big giants ever bow before the little insignificant fellow standing there? But they did it. They sure did, and pleaded for mercy. But he hadn't come in power yet, you see, and he's talking about Joseph. He was only then in just the child form. Then we find out by doing this that Joseph was taken from among his brethren, the denominations, and set out to himself his brothers all in the land. Then there comes such a great thing. We realize that Israel, as long as they dwelt in their dwelling place and kept up, now that's one good thing to stay in place positionally, that's right. But they got rid of the spirit. Don't do that. The fundamentals today positionally know what they are by intellectual conception of the Bible, but there's no spirit. Now you see what he's trying to tell you there. You've got to know your position and you've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. There are many people that know the word very graphically, but there's no spirit. That's why the foolish virgin in the end time, there's no life in it. The life is in this message. But they rejected Joseph, turned him out. They wanted nothing to do with it. A bunch of holy rollers. Now, he's telling you the same thing. They're rejecting Christ at this hour because they're turning down the prophet's ministry. See? Now, you notice in here, he says here, his brothers all in the land. Is that why Brother Branham kept calling these ministers brethren? Because he always called them brethren. But you notice he said that just Benjamin and Joseph were real brethren. But he always called them brethren. So he no doubt he was calling all those brethren out there, but there's only true brethren, and that's in whom the midst Christ stood, and not ashamed to call them brethren. They've excommunicated him, sold him out to the world, they were out of their fellowship. Now, I put past tense and present tense, showing he's relating the two, as is going on today. Now, by doing that, they were taken out of place, taken down into Egypt later on. See? Now, the story of these jealous brothers is certainly a great comparison with the spiritual side of it today. We are well aware of that. That's pure jealousy, not pure as old, dirty, filthy jealousy, see? There's no purity in jealousy. He meant that there's nothing but jealousy in there. There's no purity in jealousy. See, it's nothing but filthy jealousy. Remember, Satan by reason of pride fell. When they see the same Bible and the nature of the same God that wrote the Bible vindicating herself and then turn that down without a reason, pure. Well, pure, as I said, is dirty jealousy. See, they say, we in our church, we're right. We don't care. Whatever you produce doesn't matter. Like they say, the Catholic Church lived 2,000 years, it's got to be God. Hogwash. What kind of junk is that? Every person's been living since Adam was turned away from the tree of life. And they're all dying. And every Roman Catholic's dying too. Shows that nobody yet's come to the place where they can walk to the tree of life. When they can, we'll know something's really gone on. By that time, it'll be too late. See? And that's still going to be God. It won't be man doing it. See? Now, watch God heal the sick, raise up the dead. The same God that lived in the days of the apostles. The same gospel that they wrote for this spiritual journey. It's the same God that does the same things. Till there is nothing but jealousy, has excommunicated and said, we'll not have it among our people. Now, that's when they put him out. Put God out. Because he said, I'm coming down to prophet. Put the prophet out, you put God out. People can say what they want. I don't care what they say. We believe it this way, we're going to go this way. If we're wrong, tell you one thing, we're a whole lot more right than they are. So at least That much is good. They thought, the brethren, that they'd never have use for a man like that, so why not just get rid of him? That's what. Same thing has happened today. They think that because that our churches have become intellectual, had the best-dressed crowd, the best organization, smartest ministers, that we have no use of the Spirit in the way that it was back there. Now, just a minute. He said, no use of the Spirit in the way that it was back there. All right? And they'd never have use for a man like that, so why not just get rid of him? So they're no use for the Spirit. Which shows you every church age minister, messenger, was the Holy Ghost for his hour. To reject him was to reject the Holy Ghost. The man and the message is the same. The man and the Spirit is the same. You can't get rid of it, see? He that after him hears the Spirit says. Now, that they're full, in other words, actions speak louder than words. That their seminaries and their the brain of their being and their coming together and discussing these things, this thing, are not able with their own intellectual mind to set a church in order better than what the Holy Spirit could do. Now, you see, they figure they know more than the Holy Spirit, so they don't need the Holy Spirit. It's something we don't need it. Now, you notice he said they're full. Now, that refers to the book of Luke. When the people, let's just take a look at that for a second. Luke, the 6th chapter, something like the Beatitudes, kind of. We're over here, verse 20. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. You that weep, you'll laugh. Blessed are you men who hate you when they separate you from your company and reproach you. Cast out your name as evil as the son for the Son of Man's sake. Now notice that's for this hour, Son of Man's sake. Now what if we're right on this doctrine? My name is the most excoriated, hated name in all the Branham message. And you better believe it. Now if I'm right, I've only got one barrel to date. The second barrel's just around the corner. Now you heed my word and know what I'm talking about. And this is hard. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Especially you ain't got a 4x4 and meeting with it. For behold your reward, I put that in the scripture for my own thinking. Not that you're supposed to do it, because I won't do it. I better not do it. For in like manner they persecuted your fathers their fathers unto the prophets. So this puts you in the prophet class, see? But warned you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Warned you that are full, for you shall be hungry. He said they're full. All right, you know what their fate is. They've got news for the Holy Spirit. They've turned down the man who's God to the people. They turned down the word that's word of God. All right? It's the days of that has passed. Now, isn't that just right? We don't need the Holy Spirit to heal the sick. Now, in other words, they say, look, things like being produced today, we don't need. That was years back in Pentecost when the groundwork was being laid, the framework. We don't need it now. We don't need the Spirit to heal the sick. We got doctors. We don't need the Spirit to speak in tongues. We're intelligent people. We can learn our own languages. And when you do, you take right from your framework the lifeline. So now you got a Frankenstein and no amount of electricity is going to bring the dead man's bones back. It won't work. Jesus said to the Jews, haven't you read that the stone that was rejected is the chief cornerstone that all the building is sitting upon? Alpha is Omega. What was there has got to come back. He's telling you. There's got to be repeat ministry. And to do it, the same one has got to be here. But it's going to be Spirit. Revealed Word with it. Now see what I mean. Now I'm sure you can catch that. That the reason of it now is because they thought that they'd never have a need of it. Who needs to talk in tongues? Who needs it? Who needs that? See? We don't need speakers of tongues. We don't need interpreters of tongues. We no longer need the Old Testament prophets to set us in order by the Holy Spirit. We understand it. See? Now notice. There are 7 church ages. Number 4 was the furthest from the oil. From number 1, it started to go up and decrease, but after number 4 started to come back and increase. So that age number 4 stood alone as the bankruptcy of the church that wouldn't repent and of the church that fell on the ground and died. Number 5 then approximated 3. Number 6 approximated 2. And number 7 approximates none. 1. You're right back where you started. Follow what I said? I don't have to write on the board, I don't think. I think you can catch that. All right. So they say that we don't need it in this hour. That's when you do need it, is this hour. See, they have adopted a man-made system to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there's people that's elected, has their names on the last book of life. They can't go for that. They're not spiritual-minded. No, they can't go for that. Now, why does he hit that? The major problem amongst the Branhamites around the world outside of America is predestination. They can't take it. Now, I know what I'm talking about, because I'm in touch. See? They can't stand it. No matter if their fathers and mothers have lived in whatever organization or church, when a church makes or does, maybe it won't speak that right. What's he saying? What he's telling you. You can't look to your father and mother, your sisters and brothers. Who are his brethren? Not your father, mother, sister, and brothers. You got to be born again. Hey, why, listen, if I rested on my mother and my relatives, I might as well cut my throat and get out of here. I'm the renegade. So fooey on that nonsense. Boy, don't ever talk to me about your blood relatives. Not that anybody here's got any blood relatives to make any much mind. But the point is this. Well, I never know. I just got to keep warning. Because one day I'm going to have to meet you down the road. Oh, no, they wouldn't speak it right up, but their actions prove it. Here's the word. The Holy Spirit proves it amongst those that he can get them together. What's he saying here? He's saying, look, they wouldn't have a meeting like this and have the Holy Ghost move amongst them. Oh, no, no, no. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't get together. Oh, they're like the Methodists came and said, Brother Branham, you go to those Pentecostals. He said, look, he said, what? I'm Methodist. Well, he said, you invite me. Oh, he said, I can't. Then why knock the Pentecostals? Now, we can because we invited them. We're a bunch of knockers. We came out. Yes, sirree. We just had enough gas in our carburetor to make a lot of noise, so the Lord helped us. A lot of bang, bang, chug, chug. We're out here. See, they won't do it. They won't bring together. Oh, no, they won't speak in tongues, cast out devils. That's organization. This organ right there was thinking that the other day, sitting out there in the walk, pulling out some grass. When she's cutting the lawn, I passed right by side of her, and she didn't know. And I just let her go, and I was watching. He made an illustration. That's the way denominations are. They didn't even went by him. They didn't know what was there. They had no idea what was going on. You know, she left for Junior Jackson Church, though. Went down with the gifted people. Yep. But notice the Holy Spirit and His great work. The church feels it don't need the Holy Spirit. Then it wouldn't need to work, would it? The church will tell you that. And a man can stand up and give such intellectual talk, almost make you believe it. Now let's stop there a minute. Didn't Jesus say the two would be so close together till it would deceive the very elect if it was possible? Now with the signs and wonders, He still tells you these people outside of the bride are simply intellectuals. It's gospel. It's men who can handle that word in such a way that it could almost make any intellectual person, if you're just trusting the intellectual, they condemn the Holy Spirit and take the way of the man. We see that. Now, you know that that's exactly what happened in Hebrews 3. They disapproved of God. Why? They disapproved of Moses. See? No doubt they disapproved of him because he was too smart. He could speak Spain better than they could. He was smarter at the Hebrew and smarter at the Egyptian. He was a general. He was well taught. They said, well, he's too smart for us. Now, William Brown's too much a hillbilly for us. You can't please anybody. Quit trying it. Fat. Just go on your way, brother, sister. If you're eating good, just slug in there with the sheep. Amen. Don't worry about what those birds out there are doing, pretending they're sheep because they got some sheep on the outside. Now, that's the same thing they thought about Joseph. Now, Joseph identified the spirits, you see. They got rid of him. Why was he the Spirit? Because he told him his position. All down in Egypt. Oh, how we can think, how I could spend hours. You could stay 3 years and never leave that subject day and night and still be finding the great kernel of the Holy Spirit. That's on Joseph typing, you see. The spiritual mind can look down in Egypt and see that persecution rise. Can see Joseph taken away in order that the persecution could rise. And then see God with his wheel in the wheel. Everything moving around just perfectly. Now notice he's going to use the term wheel in the world's wheel, signifying the perfection of God moving apart from circumstances, dedicated to his own word and doing it, never minding what any intellectual anybody else ever thought. Spiritual mind can look down in Egypt and see that persecution rise. Can see Joseph taken away, nor the persecution could rise. Then see God with his wheel in the wheel. Everything moving perfectly. See Potiphar reject Joseph. Now notice, when he went to this branch here about Joseph taken away before the persecution, so that Moses could rise on the scene and God could get him out, he reversed the chronology and he went back to the same Joseph who was rejected and shows the same thing happening all through his life under Potiphar. Something's got to happen to Joseph. See that lie told and see Joseph in prison. His beard grown out, excommunicating his brethren. And then all of a sudden God moved in. What did God move in first place? Well, he put him elevated. Then he had to move Joseph out so there'd be somebody come that didn't know Joseph, right? We'll get into that. How we can see that wheel in the wheel moving. God's great plan moving everything up to this Exodus. To the time when he could call his people back in the land, back in place, in position, where he could bless them and place among them the one that he promised he would place among them. That's the presence. That's where the tabernacle would be built, and God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit covered in fire would come down and take over in the Holy of Holies. Remember, he came down in the cloud, hovered them, then took them in, and then went into the Ark of the Covenant. Then they entered the temple. All right, now that was the idea. And it types the promised land, but remember, it's also telling us something, because we're in the Exodus. And this is Exodus he's talking about. They had to be in the land. Remember, they had to come out of the land where they were in and get in the promised land before their promised Messiah could ever come. And the church has to do the same thing. You got to get out of Babylon. Get out of that group of rejectors over into the promise before Messiah can ever be manifested before them. You got to get out. Start coming out. You'll see the works. You'll hear the word. Then you got to come all the way out before you'll ever get with him. All right. Now, he says here, and see how we can see that wheel and the wheel moving. God's great plan moving up in this to this Exodus. To this time when he would call his people back in the land. Back in place. And place among them that one. Okay? There had to be a persecution arise, he said. Then you watch God begin to move perfectly in that place. Now he said he has to position them. That's exactly referring to us as to them. We've got to be positioned according to 1 Corinthians 15. The presence, and then God moving on the scene to bring all things under his feet. See? And that's when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. Follow me? The life of the Messiah manifested, making a church ready, a bride. Now, I'm not talking of Israel. Now, he says here, get out of that group of rejectors over into the promise before Messiah can ever be manifested before them. You see it? The life of the Messiah manifested, making a church ready, a bride. Now, he tells you the same life that was in Messiah's back here getting a bride ready. A woman marry a man and disagreeing with him, it would be some kind of a fuss continually. But when a man and his wife, his girlfriend, his spouse, when they're in perfect harmony, like one soul and one mind, because they're going to be one flesh. Because you're not in here flesh yet. Then when the church can get in such harmony with God, until the manifestation of the bridegroom is manifested in the bride, because they're going to be one. Well, you say, what does that mean? Well, in my books, it means immortality. We're supposed to be like him because we see him as he is. That's what 1 John 3 said. Oh, what a great lesson. Now, it's happening right today, see. It's already happening. They're going to be one. That's the key. Okay? Not physical, but spiritual, then physical. You get position with the Word, with Him, He here, then we're going to be changed, taken away, put in the promised land. All right, now remember, the spiritual mind picking this up can see the type and the anti-type and pick it up for one. We could go hours in it. Watch what takes place. Now, why have we waited all these years since this oasis of time? In other words, this is a time of refreshing, he's telling you, the folk of an Acts 3. You know the Bible speaks that the church fled in the wilderness where she was nourished for times and a time. It's time, times and a half, and a time there. Why has all this been? That we, you see, is still God's wheel in the wheel. Why hasn't God done this a long time ago when men sat down with pencils and women and tried to draw out just the time light? In other words, tell us this time we're in now. Judge Rutherford, and named him. Now, Rutherford absolutely said that the presence, the regal return, and the regal reign of Christ started in 1914. And for 3.5 years, they put the Jehovah Witnesses in prison and turned them loose. So they say the 3.5 years is when they were the woman was persecuted. The starting of Christ's presence. But they're wrong. They tried to figure it out. Mother Shipton wrote some poetry and they tried to use hers. He's trying to tell you, you can't do it. See? Now he doesn't deny the persecution, Brother Branham. He doesn't deny the presence. He says you can't figure it. See? When going by what they tried to figure out the scripture, they ruined it. See? It's hid. It's actually hid. Now, come on, don't be babies. What has been hidden and nothing said? Seventh seal. Relative to the return. And how could the scripture go against itself when Jesus said no man knows a minute or hour? In other words, you can't figure it. But you'll know it when it gets here. See, they just get one piece of scripture and hold it. You must take the whole thing. Then if God is in that, then God will manifest that to be the truth like divine healing. If it isn't truth, then it isn't truth. God had nothing to do with it. But if he manifested to be the truth, then it is the truth. Now he's talking about the presence. Did he prove divine healing? Yes. Did he prove that he's here? Yes. Then he's here. Just as Jesus, God said, if there be one among you, prophet or spiritual, I'll speak to him. And when he says, and what he says comes to pass, then hear it. That's it. But if his prophecy is wrong, then God can't be wrong. He's infinite, infallible, omnipotent, and he can't be wrong. So if the man is speaking, then it shows the man if he spoke his own words, it'll fail. But if he speaks God's word, it can't fail because it's God speaking. Then his inspiration comes from God, and it will have to be right. Now that's not just the inspiration saying, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow it's going to rain. That sets the premise for the message, so the message is right. The message is as infallible as the rain that came. You can't have one without the other. See? Now Rutherford's prophecy failed. William Branham didn't. See? That's the way God said to tell it. That's the way the Bible. In the Old Testament, he said, if they speak not according to law and prophets, it's because they have no life in them. Now how the law and prophets speak. How the prophet speak? Thus saith the Lord, a certain thing will take place. When it takes place, you listen. So nobody can say this is it for sure, unless you're a prophet, and you got God's backing. You follow me? Okay, no life in them, that's right. They have to speak according to the law and the prophets. And if the prophets or anything else must be according to the word, if it isn't, it's wrong. Okay, now, we find out that all this is taking place because waited, revivals, Methodists, Lutherans, Baptists, Carmelites, and all the others, had great revivals. Nazarene, Pilgrim, Holy, Pentecost, all the revivals. But the great exodus hasn't come. Why? And everybody said, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. He said, you Lutherans potentially had that coming one, the Holy Spirit. You Methodists potentially couldn't happen. You Pentecostals potentially couldn't happen. But when the season comes, it's got to come. See? All right. So, the season for the Holy Spirit is Exodus. Now they know that. At least they should. God told Abraham he would keep him in the land right then. But the iniquity of the Amorites wasn't full. And God has waited patiently. Them people trying to figure out. They can see the scripture runs right into something. Right into something and say, this is the day, this is the time. But you fail to understand the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. That's true. We can't get out of here. You see, the world counts the church bring a squeeze down. Because that's what he's talking about. 400 years. They would journey down there in Egypt and he brought them to be brought out. But they actually stayed 440 years. Because they rejected the prophet. They had to suffer another about 40 years in the wilderness. That's 80 years, isn't it? 40? 40 years went by because they rejected the message. What about this people? Right, 1933, we've gone by 50. We've had Jubilee since 33. The first appearing. When he came down. Rainbow signified what came down. Now 40 years in God's time would be about a 1.5 minutes. It's not really so. Because the space of half an hour in heaven was come to about roughly 21 years. It'd be almost an hour, 40 minutes. But he's right as far as just, what's it, you know, just fat. It's all over. That's how much difference. Now we're running late. Why? Why are we running late? He's talking spiritually, not the clock. God's been long-suffering, waiting, watching. Let the Lutherans rise in revival, organized. Methodist rise, revival, organized. John Smith, the Baptist Church, great revival, organized. Let Pentecostals raise up with the restoration gifts, organized. Until the iniquity gets plumb full, then God is tired. The organization hasn't come to the peak. It's no way. Those Amorites had them climbing up mountains. They haven't got where they want to go. We'll talk about President Kennedy after a while. Then there comes an exodus, and we see it. That the people themselves can see back down the stream of time. That the thing is cursed. See? Now, people always knew that was wrong. but they organized. He said, this never will organize. Now, little guys rise up and try to be something, but fat. That's just natural. That's a devil pride. Then people see themselves, the people themselves can see back down the stream of time that the thing is cursed, this organization. They take a wedge and a fine Babylonian garment. So that signifies like a priesthood. And that's the thing that curses amongst the people. When man tries to inject his own ideas upon things. See, that's your Nicolaitan concept, the priesthood. See? See, if Brother Branham's garments is your thoughts, because their thoughts were the people's garments, organization, then his is the true revelation and not organization. We have got to stay with that word, that the commandments of God was not to touch nothing in that city, that cursed city. Don't touch it, leave it alone. In other words, don't have a thing to do with any doctrine you ever had before in any type of church system. Because every table is full of vomit. There isn't one doctrine that hasn't been tainted. I don't care how good it is. The whole thing is corrupt. You need the complete new revelation. And as soon as the prophet corrected the error, we're caught up to know where we come, where we're at, we're ready to move on. That's what he said. And Achan thought that he could take this gold wedge and live pretty decently like the rest of the world. Be a Christian, no mess around. And find Babylonian garment. Oh, at the Achan's in the camp, see. But the thing is cursed, and it continually is cursed. It was cursed since the very Nicene Council at Nicaea, Rome. It's been cursed ever since. See, that's the world. But God has let the iniquity fill up until the time of the Amorites is about fulfilled. See? Remember, the real curse was even a revelation. So the church has got that. Jezebel has got to foist everything upon the people, see? And now anybody spiritual understanding, remember, I keep quoting spiritual understanding, you can see that the iniquity of this nation is filled up. Now, what's the spiritual understanding? Let's understand this once and for all. 1 Corinthians, the 13th to 14th chapter, I think it is. All right. 36. What came the word of God up from you? It came from you only. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, born of the Spirit, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of God. William Branham stood up, and he was the only non-manure head of the bunch. The only man feeding food that wasn't vomit. In fact, the only man with thus said the Lord. The only man There wasn't doctrinaire with the doctrine of this world. He was the only one who could tell it that had the Word of God. Nobody else did. Now, I know that sounds pretty rough, but that's the way it is as far as I'm concerned. Anybody else can fly a kite. I know a lot of people think I don't defend Brother Branham enough until they find me that I defend him a whole lot more than they do. I only associate people that make him a false prophet. But could be a bunch of goats sitting here, but believe me, God doesn't have false prophets that he gives the Word of God to. See, let's get that down flat. Time people smartened up. Now, spiritual understanding, then, makes Brother Branham right, period. You can see the iniquity of this nation is filled up because they turned him down. She's organized and reorganized and organized and organized, and now she's confederated and joining something else. What's that? Catholic Church. Iniquity is filled up. It's time for Exodus. It's time for a calling out of the promised land. Not the promise, just another country to go to, but a home, the millennium. Time for calling out. The iniquity of this nation is filled up. She's filthy. You say, Brother Branham, the nation you live in? Yes, sir, certainly. You say, as a citizen of the United States, you shouldn't say that. Then Elijah shouldn't have called a curse upon Israel and him and Israelite. The rest of the prophets should never curse that nation. They were Israelites under Israel. But they only spoke not their own thoughts, but the word of the Lord. Depends on where you're drawing your inspiration from. Depends on how it's coming. If it's contrary to the word, leave it alone. I don't ask anybody to prove that that's contrary to the word. Well, he knows that everybody says it, but they don't believe it, see. Did not the Bible say in Revelation 13, that's where this nation appears? This nation number 13, woman's nation. It's a woman in the Bible. Woman's honored coin. It's a woman nation. It's where the rottenness of women begins, starts, where it ends at. The rottenness started in Eden by disbelieving God's word. Here's where it hatched out. Women, preachers, everything else. The filth of the word comes out of Hollywood, the worst nation in the world. More divorce than the rest of the world put together, see. Why? You'll find out one of these days, the Lord willing. You'll see this cursed thing. You can see the blindness of this divorce stuff that Satan pulled over the eyes of the people. We're in a terrible hour. The end is almost at hand now, I believe. They're rotten, rotten to the core. See, marriage and divorce is one of the signs of the time. And that has to do with the end time divorce when God divorces that church, you know. She appears in Revelation 13, number 13. Remember, it's raised up like a lamb. Freedom religion. But then it received power from the beast, an image like it. And he spoke with all the authority and done the same rotten thing the beast did before him. Then tell me it's not prophesied of this nation. The Amorites, that's the mountaineers, one of the top. We're building a world system. We paid for it. We've got it. It's just about ripe because they're already working in it. And even our new pope, his main purpose is to unite the brethren together. And to the natural eye, it's a thing to do. But in the eyes of God, it's contrary to the Holy Spirit. We can mix up, we can't mix up with that. And every church will be caught to that federation. You remember that Bishop Stanley that handed Brother Branham the Bible that morning, his own Bible stuck in Phoenix? And you remember Bishop Stanley's sister said the message she gave, the message interpretation? Do you know that Bishop Stanley has confessed that he has one purpose in life, and that is to bring the Protestants back to Rome? So much for the men who ran after Bishop Stanley. I could mention one. But I'm too polite and nice. I don't do things like that. I'll just let him tell all the... Get out of that thing as quick as you can. And you'll take the mark of the beast, not knowing that what you're doing. Get out of it. I hope the spiritual mind can catch it. In other words, you've got faith in me, you'll get out. You won't fool around, you'll obey me. You'll be a part of it, the same as I am. You see? But I wonder out there. Anyhow, you can't visit every nation. You can send tapes to it. God will have some way to catch that mind out there where that seed is sown. That's right. As soon as the light strikes it, it's gone, takes light. Like the little woman with the well, she said, there it is, she caught it. Get out of that thing, it's cursed. Cursed. Tell me where one ever fell and rose again. Tell me one ever raised that didn't fall. So you can see that the thing is wrong. All right, iniquity wasn't full yet, the Amorites, so they had to linger and wait for the Exodus. But when the Amorites got their iniquity filled, then there came a spiritual Exodus, or natural Exodus, to lead to be a natural land, where a natural Amorite had once dwelt, called out of the land. In other words, the Amorites are going to lose it. We're going to take it over eventually. And the iniquity of the Amorite denomination, see, that's your mountain, the filled the earth, Babylon. Great at one time, ran everything, going to do it again. Head of gold, you know, all that junk. That has called themselves a church so long, till their iniquity is about filled, or fulfilled. There is coming an Exodus, where God will show who's who, where the church itself, the bride of Jesus Christ will be exodus, taken out of the land into that that's promised. In my Father's house are many mansions in that place. That's the Mount Zion showdown. Three showdowns, right? All right. What do you say? Mount Sinai, Mount Carmel, and now Mount Zion. Of course, Calvary was a showdown too, but nobody knew it except the few disciples that he rose. You don't have to go there and fight like they did. It's already prepared. If this earthly tabernacle dwelling be dissolved, we have one waiting. That where I am, you'll be also. The great exodus is at hand. You know, the rest under the seven seals. See? Watch how God did that exodus. What preparation he made. And study just a moment, then look at today. All right, notice. Before this exodus, they raised up a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. See, a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. Didn't know Joseph. What was Joseph representing, the spiritual part, in this exodus? They raise us up now. We're in freedom. But you see, there has to be a physical to go spiritual. The woman was nourished for a time, and dividing a time. Time, right, 3.5 years. But finally, they raised up a Pharaoh dictator who knew not the freedom religion, uniting them together. Don't let it pass you. There come a time when there was a Pharaoh first, had to come. And the organization has lived lusciously, lived as a grafted branch in the real vine of Christianity, but still bearing original fruits. Women half-dressed, men intellectual, denying the power of the Spirit, but it's lived under the name of the Christian church. It's a grafted vine. But the husbandman's coming by now to prune that vine, as he said he'd do. Well, when you prune it all off the real vine, what happens? The real vine gets taken away, and the limbs all get burned. Because it's got to be transplanted. Remember, God absolutely puts a sickle to the true vine and to the false vine. He reaps the true vine, takes it in the rapture, first resurrection, and the rest burned. Now, that's simple as ABC. It's a grafted vine. But the husbandman coming by now to prune that vine, as he said he would do. And all those that don't have the fruit is cut off and thrown in the fire and consumed. It's an awful thing to say, but truth sometimes seems awful. It just tells you how God takes his children through the deep waters and miry sands. He does it like that. And otherwise, he tells you that the bride is going to have a rough time too. Remember, there's a purging before. The purging of the church is that's great tribulation. Our purging is a spiritual affair. You know, chasing. Remember, the pot must be broken shivers, shards, little pieces, to remold it again and ground again. Looks like a terrible thing to destroy it, but it has to be done thus in order to get the pot remade, the vase, or whatever you're making. Now, he tells you flat, you've got to ditch everything you ever thought you were and are, put it all on the table and say, Lord, here I am. You've got to do me over. I've got to repent and got to get lined up. There was a Pharaoh raised up who did not know Joseph, and that was the beginning of the beginning. That was the beginning of the Exodus. And when that thing began to form under political power, began to form, God began to get ready. Now, notice he said, the beginning of the beginning started under a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph, and he's talking about Kennedy. Now, don't forget, he's talking about Jack Kennedy. The iniquity of the Amorites was fulfilled. The time that he promised Abraham was fulfilled. And the time of the deliverance was at hand. And God permitted a Pharaoh to raise up who knew not Joseph, and Ramses was born. Right after Seti comes Ramses. And Ramses was the one who knew not the blessings of Joseph. He didn't know what the spiritual side was. He was only a political genius that he could take Ethiopia and all the rest of countries under military might, and that's all he knew was military might. See, now he's telling you something there. That this man refuses to understand that America was great because of Protestantism. It had nothing to do with Catholicism. They came over here to get away from it. But the devil's very tenacious. And I think if any man was spiritual could see what's taking place now. We're getting a Pharaoh who knows not freedom of religion. When our president took office, he would not swear to that he believed in freedom of religion. I don't know where that statement came from. What about the other day when we had this question of segregation down in the South? When this governor of Alabama, that'd be Wallace, wish I could talk to that minister, Martin Luther King. How can the man be a leader in leading his people to a death trap? If those people were slaves, I'd be down there in my coat off beating away for them people. They're not slaves, they're citizens. Citizen nation. The question of going to school, them people. If they got a hard heart and don't know those things, you can't drive into a people's spiritual things what's beat in their political powers. Now, the politics and spirit don't mix. They've got to accept to be born again. Then we'll see these things. But this man, if I could only speak to him, leading those precious people on the name of religion to a death trap, where he's going to kill thousands times 10,000 of them, they just get the natural side. The colored brother, when this uprising came to Louisiana, I was there at the time, there's a colored minister, a precious old brother, stood up and said, and asked the minister, could I speak to them? They're my people. The old minister up there said, I want to say this morning, I never was ashamed of my color. My maker made me what I am. That's the way he wants you to remain. That's the way he wants every man to remain. He makes white flowers, blue flowers, all color flowers. Don't interbreed them. Don't cross them. You go against nature. He said, I've never been ashamed of my color till this morning. When I see my people rise up and do things they're doing now, it makes me ashamed. I thought, God bless that boy. He said, you're only going to cause trouble. Look at the schools here. If we had no schools, it'd be different. But who's got the best schools in Louisiana? Let's take, for instance, our city, Shreveport. There's a white school over there that's an old school. They built another one. They haven't got one instrument, one thing for the children to play. We got a yard full. Besides that, they built us a great big marble swimming pool for our children, and we got the best teachers that can be got. And he said, why do you want to go over there when we got better here? What's the matter with you? They just deadened his voice. You know, they'd be, yeah. See, wrong inspiration. Them people were slaves. They're my brothers and sisters. If they were slaves today, I'd say, let's join them and go down through the streets and protest that thing. They're not slaves. They're citizens with the same rights everyone else has got. It's just a bunch of inspiration coming from hell to cause a million and be killed. To start a revolution, certainly, it's not right. Men and women have their own rights. Our colored brothers and Japanese and yellow, white and black, whatever it was, there's no difference in the color of our God. We all come from one man, Adam. But if God separates us and turns us different color, let that remain that way. If I was a yellow man, I want to be remain a Chinese or a Japanese. If I was a colored man, I want to remain that way. God made me that way. Frankly, there's a lot about the colored race the white race ought to have. They don't have the worry. They're more spiritual. There's a thousand things about them the white man can't even touch. God made them thus. Who could ever outsing a colored choir? Where would you find the voices? I've seen them come from the land back there, didn't know which was right hand, left hand. 30, 40 different tribes of them. And they sing to a place, a minister stand there and say, I just can't touch it. They've trained choirs for years, and one will be an octave high and low and everything and say, listen to that, just perfectly. Even different languages gifted. They have, what do they call that? Is that a polychromatic is the color, but that's the same as the ear too. In other words, when we hear, we got to separate notes. And they can hear all those notes at one time, and each one falls perfect. And they can take any note they want to sing at any time. Indians can do the same thing. White men can't do it. Indians and black men. Wherever there's four people, there's a natural born quartet. Now, white people can learn it. And once in a while, you hear someone with perfect tune or something. But the black people and the Indians, they just got it. Man, it'd be nice. Well, I'm not going to envy them. I wish I had a little more talent singing, but my forte certainly is not singing. Big feet are though. Okay, but you see, all this stuff has to happen, all because of politician that you people elected with your crooked machines. That's the Kennedy over Nixon, you know, up in Cook, up where what do you call it, Cook County and Daly up there. The other day, when the governor stood there, sworn elected in that office by the people, and the question of segregation according to the Constitution is that each state can take its own thought about that. He didn't care, but he read the Constitution and said, now the school stand for segregation. They got a school over there, and only two colored children wanted to enter that school when they got their own college. But he stood and said, what he did, he read the Constitution. Then when it come back to this fellow up there that knows not Joseph Freedom, pulling for those colored votes and not knowing it was the Republican Party that feed them, Republican Party, in the first place, selling out their birthright to such a thing is to lead them to a death trap to show that every man-made system has got to fall. That's exactly right. And Mr. Kennedy nationalized that guard, and sent those men right back in to face their own fathers, standing on the Constitution and broke the Constitution, said, we'll not fight, no sir. And said, I hope the nation can find out we're not living anymore in a democracy, but under a military dictatorship. And that's exactly where it started. It was that move right there down in Alabama. Now everybody's going to say, well, this has got to be done, that's got to be done. No way. You know the old saying, once a Southern Democrat, always, I don't know now. Surely a man will have sense enough to wake up to something. Let those precious people alone. Don't kill them off down there like that guy. Shot that brother in the back the other night with that gun, his little children and wife in the house. I don't care who he is. That's low down little. Yes, sir. I'd like to be the judge on that case once. Shoot that man coming home to his wife and children. He is a citizen, has a right to stand for what he thinks, a good man. Picture Life magazine, a little boy crying for his daddy and some renegade up there shot him in the back out of an ambush. That's what you get when you reject Christ. Now the thing is, what's going to come next? That's right. That's where the whole nation's got to under politics. It's such a shame. You see, Laodiceanism, Nicolaitanism is politics. That's the trouble, you see. And they're only too glad to join up with anything to get their ends. My little son said to me this morning, Daddy, the Pilgrim Fathers need to come over here. Were they all belong to this certain denomination church? Were they all? Said they had one big coat. I said, no, honey. They come here for freedom of religion. That's why they come here to get from under such stuff as that. You see where it's got to now? Shows that all these kingdoms must fall. One thing I pray, Brother Martin Luther King will certainly soon wake up. He loves his people, there's no doubt. But only see where his inspiration comes from. What good would it do if you went to school, a million of you lying yonder dead? Wouldn't it be just going to school just the same? Yes, that's the answer. What do you got? Same old grind. Now for hunger. If it was something for another slave, a man would be a martyr to give his life for such a cause. A worthy cause. That would be a worthy cause. But just to go to school, I don't see it. I don't think the Holy Spirit is agreeing with him on that at all. He's got the people all worked up a bunch of ballyhoo, you see. Just like Hitler did in Germany. Led them right to a death trap, see? He did it too. Those precious Germans, they laid them by the millions. Piled up on top of them there. Not to mention the 6 million Jews. That's exactly the same thing. Remember, I'm on tape. You'll see that maybe after I'm gone. In other words, I might not be here, but you watch and see. That's exactly what's going to happen. Them precious people will die down there like flies. Start a revolution. Both white and color will fight again and die like flies. What have you got when it's all over? A bunch of dead people. You haven't changed anything. You try and tell them. Take Christ. But they're raised up a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. It's the same thing today. A man is raised up and took oath in the White House that will not swear to his oath, will not take his oath. He believes in free religion. What's this new pope saying? Now, I tell you, you may wonder about this, but I think what Brother Branham is saying here, that though Kennedy raised his hand that he did believe in freedom, as a Roman Catholic, he cannot. Amen. And there's nothing to tell a lie. I think what he's doing here I think that's what he said in another tape. He'll go ahead and lie. He said, if a Roman Catholic said to me, I'm going to vote for Nixon, I know right away that person's lying. Because they're forbidden by the church to vote for anybody Roman Catholic. So I believe that's what he's saying here, because I do believe that Kennedy did make the statement that religion doesn't mean anything. And he did take a proper oath, as far as I know. So I'm not saying Brother Branham is 100% wrong here. I'm just saying this is what he told us on other tapes. They can say what they want, but it doesn't mean a thing. See, because that's where the backgrounding is. Now, of course, many people don't like to believe that. That's their business, not mine. All right, and this time Ramesses was growing, his power growing. The natural man Ramesses was growing. The natural man, the Antichrist, is growing now through politics. What natural man? He's going to come and take it all over. Politics and church. He's already got to the White House. What's that about? Political power. It's emerging to bring it about. Then there's a persecution coming upon all those who won't unite with it and a boycott. It'll be too late then. You've already took the mark. Don't say I'll do it then. You better do it now. In other words, get out now. Ramesses was growing. But remember, while Ramesses was growing in the power of Egypt, God had Moses in the wilderness. In other words, in what looked like a chaotic condition, God was moving and people couldn't understand. They said, well, shouldn't you fight fire with fire? Shouldn't it be this? Shouldn't it be that? Shouldn't you just say that? He said, no, I got a thing on the wheel and the wheel's moving right now. God and the prophet. He was growing too. Ramesses had a political system. God had a spiritual system under a prophet, ready to come down and speak to the people. They're both growing again. It'll be a showdown one of these days. That was spoken in June 30th, 63. What's to come later? Mount Zion showdown, the rapture scene. The time ain't far off when there'll come a showdown. As the natural, the scripture says, the natural types of spiritual. You can't get away from it. There it is. It's right before your eyes. It's truth. See? Americans won't believe that. They don't believe nothing. Roman Catholics wrote a book on the Pilgrim Fathers. They said the Pilgrim Fathers came over to America because they wanted to worship in a righteous way. So they brought a bunch of priests with them. That's exactly what they taught in social sciences and civics. And then one priest got some big mouth down in Texas. He said, it was you Protestants killed us Catholics. He said, we're going to shut your mouths one of these days. Telling lies on it. Why, you got to be deaf, dumb, and insane, and devil-possessed. And worse than that, you got to be plain, stupid jerk trying to get somewhere in this stupid, jackass world down here. Amen. You'll make it to hell, all right, for a long time, anybody talks that way. They know it's a lie. And they think nothing of it. And the Protestants are lying, too. They're a bunch of liars, too. Amen. William Branham was the only non-manure-head, only legitimate Christian in the whole bunch until God began dealing with us. Ha! They don't like that, do they? I like it. Gives me hope. Gives me hope, yeah. As the natural spirit says, natural type spirits, you can't go in. There it is, right before your eyes, the truth. Look at the church now, calling out, coming into power. Holy Spirit coming down. Mysteries of God being revealed. And set in order, see. The right church. She's already in the White House, and the church is pulling itself together, not denominations. In other words, he says the right church, wrong church here and there. But out of the bondage of iniquities, that's the real church, out of the bondage of iniquities, see. Now, here's what he should have said. This wrong order's in the White House, and the right church, the true church, is pulling itself together out of denominations, out of the bondage, away from the Amorites. His language is a bit mixed up there, but you follow. God had Moses, his to-be prophet. He wasn't yet, but to-be prophet. Though he'd already prophesied and proved that he was right, but yet he was in the school of wilderness, hid away from the rest of the world, but he was schooled, being trained out in the wilderness. The enemy will propose always his system, and unbelief will accept it because the enemy is intellectual sign. Now remember, there's only two. Don't forget this. Only two powers. One is spiritual power of the Holy Ghost. The other is the devil working through intellectual power. Now intellectual power will not produce. We saw what real power did. You got to go where the word is. See? For that's where he entered in the Garden of Eden. Through intellectual powers to make Eve believe in intellectual conception against the word. It's just as plain as can be. The kids could get to see that. That's the way it's been all the way down. Here it is in Egypt this morning. There's an intellectual power working in Ramesses, bringing him up to power and raising him up, who knows not the freedom to let what Joseph had done, what the church had done in the beginning. We won't leave it alone, see. Now we see the same thing, an intellectual power weaving among the churches is raised up to an intellectual head, ecclesiastical head, that don't care about what the Bible says. See, in other words, they can't take the message of the messenger. See? They've got their own system, not what the Bible says, what the church said. That's Pentecost too. The Protestants weave right into that until all the little groups like this, well, sure, I know it says this, but I tell you, those days are gone. Former God is denying the power. Every scripture in the Bible points straight to it. Now you say, why I wanted this tape is to send it to the people. The hour has arrived. All right? Now, what hour has arrived? They're both growing. It'll be a showdown one of these days, okay? So we're coming to showdown. See, the intellectual part looks perfect. But the truth, the hour's arrived, the truth's got to be known, the excess is at hand. The intellectual part looks perfect, and it is perfect, it's exactly, but perfect, inspiration is saying. Then all the time that this intellectual Ramesses was growing and coming to the throne, remember, he raised up as a brother to Moses. See, a brother to Moses. In other words, in the land at the same time and all. One of them had to take the intellectual seat, just like Joseph's brethren. And what did he do to Joseph? They excommunicated him the word. The word is God. They excommunicated the word, accepted the creed, and now the creed has grown to power. Oh God, let the people see that. See, the creed has now taken the power away from the word. But the word alone has life. It'll come back. How can I use any more voice? How can I make it any plainer by the scripture under inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we're here? That's, in other words, this is the hour. Oh, you say, well now, if that come from Pope John or Pope so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, do you see that God took a little insignificant desert dweller? See, how can it all be wrong? God deals with an individual, not with groups, with individuals. God gives him, he's getting his, only thing he had to have is one man that he could operate with. That's all he wants is one man. Now that's what he's bringing you down to. All it takes is one man for the rapture to get going. Took one man to get in the ark. It took one man to die for our sins. It takes one man to stand there and plead for our sins. All it takes is one. It takes one messenger in every age. It takes one man at this hour to get the whole thing moving. Why? Because that God has that one man. He's tried to get it through every age. If he could get one man, he's got one man in the days of Noah, one in the lives of Elijah, one in the days of John the Baptist, one now, see? Just one man is all he needs. In the days of Judges, he tried to get one man, Samson. Gave him great power. Sold out to a woman. Was blinded. Judges. Wasn't so. God's the judge, see? Samson didn't wait for God to give him the answer. He blew her. You see, today he's trying to get one man. He can get his hand. That will tell the truth. That'll be fearless with it. That won't pull no punches. That will not be dogmatic. That's in other words, have his own dogmas and creeds. One man that he can hold in his hand and show his word alive and show himself alive. See, that would make God the judge, see, at that time. You see? You follow me? Because he couldn't get the judge back there, but God's a judge. Now, when he sets this in the church, then that's judge. Well, you're dealing with God. And you'll be judged by dealing with God. So what is a judge? I believe you can get such a person ready. I do. I believe it. I just believe the Bible enough to believe that. He's talking about himself. He could get it. That's right. That would tell the truth. Now, after a while, we found out, after he went through all the schools. Now, watch. The enemy proposes something. Intellectual mind. Because the enemy is working on intellects. And the mind will set down reason and say, now just a minute, it isn't so. I talked to a man the other day, he said, look, Billy, where's the public service gun? Want to ask you something. You're Irish, yes, sir. Kind of shame, but I am. Well, do you know you should be Catholic? I'm originally Catholic. You know the first church was Catholic. Where is it today? Started Pentecost. Organization. Look at Pentecost. Come right back organized. Done the same thing First Catholic Church did. They're almost as far away today as they were 2,000 years ago. And 50 years is what it took. As bad as the Catholics almost. Don't you believe that when a group of ecumenical minds sit together and reason something, and the entire group can agree, don't you think there'd be just a little, said, I come to hear you preach, but I disagree with you. And I said, the only way you can prove that your disagreement is logical is prove it by the Bible. He said, the Bible's nothing to do with it. I said, to you it might not, but to me, it's all to do with it. It's the Word. He said, don't you think that a bunch of ecumenical minds sitting together could be more right, being sure of being right, than just one little, little uneducated fellow like yourself? I said, well, what business you got to say anything against our church? That's what he said. When there's been down through the ages, when they had the first church councils you spoke of one night, we heard the church age of the ecumenical council of Nicaea, Rome, formed the Roman Catholic Church. Don't you know that there was thousands of men's spirit God sent to that council? And don't you think that their mind would be more subject to know the will of God than yours down here after God has proved through 2,000 years the church is right? He's trying to say the Catholic Church is right in 2,000 years. I said, he never proved it. If that church is the church of God, let us see it bring forth like the first church did. Let's see it produce the things they did in the first place. When even the Bible says, not one jot or tittle will fail of it. Whoever shall take one word from this is charged to be taken up. Whether it's ecumenical council or whatever it is in the Book of Life, it's finished. He said, Billy, you're just erratic. What have you got left in your take? You're about finished? Well, I'm going to miss a page and a half here, but that's all right. I'm going to close here because I have about a page and a half to go, and I don't want to miss it because these tapes go out like the others. All right? The Educated Mind, that's page 28. I don't know if we can finish next week or not, but we're going to. Now, we've got some good things here already, and we'll be getting some more of these good things as we get into the last pages where the presence is absolutely brought to our attention. Okay, shall we rise at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, again we praise and thank you for love, mercy, and grace, your kind consideration of us, O Lord, that you have provided liberty all things for us, and you do continue. And we praise, Lord, that we can come here and get these little messages Brother Branham brought us that are food to our soul. It's a great history of this hour. It's your word that has been brought forth. And we pray, Lord, as we come together each time, that our comments will be right with the word as the prophet gave it, weaving back and forth, Lord, to nail down the things that are most surely said to us. And, Lord, we know that we want them to be one part. We concede all these things the prophet said, Lord. It just takes one man to get it going, one man to get us out of here, because you're with that man's mind. One, if that man will tell the truth and not pull his punches, be exactly right. And, Lord, now we're standing on it. Now, Father, we vindicated him, and I believe because we believe him, you'll vindicate us. Not that we're looking for anything special for us. We're looking to get out of here. And so, Father, that's the showdown we're looking for, Mount Zion. And we praise thee for it, O God. Bless everyone here in divine presence, therefore. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. Provide for the needy. Give jobs to those looking for. Open up eyes that need help. Revelation, anything, Lord. We know we can look to you in this hour because this is that great hour of consummation. The great God appearing amongst us, certainly unveiling himself and showing he's the same yesterday and forever. And he himself, as he told us not to lose one jot or one tittle, you yourself, Lord, have not lost one jot or one tittle of yourself. No way, shape, and form have you ever changed. But if anything, we see the magnificence and the greatness of it all the more. So we praise you tonight for your love, mercy, and the wonderment of yourself that you should be here with us. We're going to praise you now. So we commend ourselves most heartily to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just sing, Take the Name of Jesus with you. And we'll be together next Sunday morning then at 11 o'clock. We continue our meetings. All right?